You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas, and we're going through Ezekiel. We've ended up here in chapter 5 of Ezekiel, discussing the siege that is being described, a small graphic display that the Heavenly Father, by the hand, the pen, being demonstrated by Ezekiel, what's coming upon Jerusalem. And of course, Ezekiel is in, where is he at? He's in Babylon. He's in Tel Abib by the river Chidar, taken of the first captivity by the king of Babylon. He's part of that captivity, and he's prophesying against Jerusalem and the city, the siege that is to come. He's in the fifth year of the rule of King Zedekiah, and about 6 years from the destruction of the temple and the city by the Babylonians, the first destruction of the temple and the beginning of the desolations. So we have a siege that's coming upon the city in the last few years, and comparing that sometimes to the siege at 70 AD to get a good idea of what's going on. This is also the time of the abomination that maketh desolate. The first time that the overspreading of abomination brought about the desolation by the judgment of the Heavenly Father against the nation Israel, against the city and the nation the first time. And of course, we got a repeat performance of the abomination, the overspreading for the overspreading of abominations. He shall make it desolate, spoken of there from Daniel chapter 9, speaking of the judgment that the Messiah himself, yes, brought upon Israel that second time, and the end of Israel, the determined period, the 70 weeks was over, and Israel's position as a set-apart nation to the Heavenly Father was over with, and a new nation, one that, a spiritual nation, a holy nation over all the earth by the work of the Messiah began. Continuing here, she hath changed my judgments, verse 6, chapter 5. She hath changed my judgments into wickedness more than the nations, and my statutes more than the countries that are round about her. For they refuse my judgments and my statutes, and have not walked in them. And so that makes the corporate, those people out there that call themselves followers of the Messiah, the followers of Jesus, God's people in America, and in the West, they call themselves the church. They have changed his judgments into wickedness more than the nations, more than the heathen around them. They change his statutes more than the countries round about them. They refuse his judgments and his statutes. They say his law is nailed to the cross and they don't have to follow it. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, there it is, Adonai Yahweh, that variation on the name which Ezekiel seems to use here. Perhaps I don't know why he's using that other, that variation on the name. It's usually Yahuwah. So they're giving it to us a little bit differently here in the King James Version. They spell it the Lord with all lowercase Lord, of course, at capital L, lowercase Lord, capitalized, and then God in all uppercase to signify the difference there. It says Adonai, the word Lord, that we translate as Lord. So Adonai Yahweh says, because you multiplied more than the nations that are round about you, and have not walked in my statutes, neither have kept my judgments, neither have done according to the judgments of the nations that are round about you, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, am against thee, and will execute judgments in the midst of thee in the sight of the nations. What's coming on the corporate church? What's coming on these obstinate people that say they are his, but do not follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth? What's coming on them? And I will do in thee that which I have not done, and whereunto I will not do any more the like, because of all the thine abominations. Okay, speaking to Jerusalem, talking about what's going to come on Jerusalem and the siege of the city and this demonstration that he's having Ezekiel demonstrate over here outside the land, in the land of Babylon. And he says, because of all thine abominations. And there we have a picture of the overspreading of abominations upon Jerusalem, upon Israel. For the overspreading of abominations, he brings about the desolations. The abomination of desolation. The abomination that maketh desolate. This is what Daniel the prophet spoke of. This is what the Messiah spoke of when he said, let the reader understand. Not us. He was talking to Israel. He was talking about the abomination that was going to desolate their nation, that was going to desolate the city again, second time. This, of course, we're reading about the first time, but this is where we get our understanding about what does the abomination of desolation mean that we can apply to prophecy. It's not this fantasy in the future 7-year tribulation period that they conjured up out of Daniel's 70th week to take the onus off of the true Antichrist who sits in his place and has an image made by the second beast of the first beast. And you can learn more about that. Go to my website, Cross the Border, if you want to learn more about true prophecy, true history, not the fantasy. They've spent millions and millions of dollars and funded to the point where everyone now believes only popular eschatology. Continuing, because of all thine abominations, therefore the fathers shall eat the sons in the midst of thee, and the sons shall eat their fathers. And this is where they eat the dead, actually. You know, someone dies, they have meat. The siege is pretty bad. And I will execute judgments in thee, and the whole remnant of thee will I scatter into all the winds. You know, it's hard to believe that it can get worse than this. And for people to go, oh, well, you know, certainly, you know, we can only have the worst time that ever was or that ever shall be in the future because they didn't have nuclear weapons. You know, I would rather be evaporated by a nuclear weapon than to live through a siege like this where people are eating the dead or selling their babies for meat, you know, or boiling leather to eat it and then being killed if they escape, you know, as happened in the final siege in Jerusalem in 70 AD, to see a crucifix works of rotting flesh around the city in that siege. Yes, I think I would be rather be evaporated by a nuclear that, you know, people only imagine that it's worse because they want to believe in the fantasy of the future. Because one, they get to escape it, you know, by a pre-tribulation rapture. Sorry about all you four poor folks, you know, the hundreds of millions that have died for their faith over, you know, the last 1,000 or a couple 1,000 years. You know, sorry you missed the rapture. You just lived at the wrong time and had to suffer all that tribulation. But we're the lucky ones. That's right. Because, you know, I'm the lucky one because I live in the time when I'm going to be raptured out before anything bad happens. Yeah, well, good luck with that plan. I'm not buying into it. And neither should you. You see how much trouble they went to sell it to you. It's not in the scripture. There's no pre-tribulation rapture. I'm sorry. It's not in the book. I challenge anyone to show it to me. It's not in there. It's in the fantasy books. It's in the popular eschatology of the day. It's in the counter-reformation writings of the Vatican and her Jesuit priests. Yes, it's all there, but it's not in the word of Yahuwah. It's not in his word. Wherefore I live, saith the Lord God, surely because thou hast defiled my sanctuary with all thy detestable things and with all thine abominations, therefore will I diminish thee. Neither shall mine eyes spare, neither will I have any pity. A third part of thee shall die with pestilence and with famine. Ooh, wouldn't want to be there. A third are going to die with pestilence and famine and disease. You know, when you're famished, you're diseased because you're weak. You don't have the building blocks of life in your food, your nutrition. You don't have what it takes to sustain a healthy existence. So you die from pestilence. The parasites take over, the cancer, the consumption. and all of the things that people are dying of today simply because they eat pollution. They eat polluted food. They don't obey the word that the Heavenly Father tells you to eat, that which is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Many believe they just pray over and they can eat anything. But it says, you know, instructions in the New Testament are clear, sanctified first by the word of God. And that means set apart. And when that was written, the only word of God was the Old Testament. So the question, it begs the question, what did our Heavenly Father set apart for food by his word? That you are to pray over and be thankful for. That is your food. It says, by those who believe and know the truth. Very few believe and know the truth because they don't teach it in the corporate church. They teach you lies. Oh, you can eat anything you want. That law was nailed to the cross. Yes, Jesus died to sanctify pig and shrimp and all kinds of unclean and detestable things. And, oh, yeah, he didn't give those dietary rules to the Hebrew people for their own good and their own health. Oh, he gave that to them just because, you know, that was the mean God of the Old Testament. That's right. Yes, lies. That's what they teach. And some of them are just proud as could be of it. I've heard them. I've seen their pride and how they look down upon me and call me weak because I follow the dietary law. Why do I follow the dietary law? Because I have faith. Yeah, that's right. I have faith in his word. I believe that if I'm obedient to his word, that I will yield the best result for my life. What do they have faith in? Not his word. They have faith in whatever liberty they can squeeze out of it because they, what does it say up here? What did our friend, what does it say? They haven't kept my judgments. It says they changed my judgments into wickedness more than the nations, my statutes more than the countries round about them. And that's what the church does in America today. They change his judgments. They change his statutes more than the heathen around them. We'll continue here. A third part of thee shall die with the pestilence and famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee. And a third part of thee shall fall by the sword round about thee. And I will scatter a third part to all the winds and I will draw out a sword after them. Thus shall my anger be accomplished and I will cause my fury to rest upon them and I will be comforted. And they shall know that I, Yahuwah, have spoken it in my zeal when I have accomplished my fury in them. Moreover, I will make thee waste and a reproach among the nations that are round about thee in the sight of all that pass by. So it shall be a reproach and a taunt, an instruction and an astonishment unto the nations that are round about thee when I execute judgments in thee in anger and in fury and in furious rebukes, I, Yahuwah, have spoken it. When I shall send upon them the evil arrows of famine, which shall be for their destruction. And when I will send to destroy you, and I will increase the famine upon you, and will break your staff of bread. So I will send upon you famine and evil beasts, and they shall bereave thee, and pestilence and blood shall pass through thee, and I will bring the sword upon thee. I, Yahuwah, I, the Lord, have spoken it. Does the Heavenly Father execute judgment upon those that are his? Upon those that are say they are called by his name? Then they are called Yahudi. Today they call themselves the church in America in the midst of Babylon. Does he? Judgment begins, demonstrated over and over. Our Heavenly Father demonstrated it for our behalf that judgment begins at the house of the Lord. Judgment begins in his own house, demonstrated here in Israel. First he judged Israel. Then after that, he judged all of the nations around Israel. He said it. We went through Jeremiah. I suggest that Jeremiah, about the same time that Ezekiel's writing this, about the same time, you know, during the Babylonian occupation, when Daniel was taken captive, Zedekiah was put in the place as the governor or king for the last 11 years in Judah there, and the last half of those 11 years being the siege that we're reading about here, which Ezekiel is foretelling. Is there a lesson here for the church today in America? Yes, there is. I would be afraid. I would be very afraid. It's time to repent, people. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You say you're called by his name, but you're totally bought into Babylon, the Babylonian system. You're looking to the world for benefits. You bought into a retirement plan, and you can see it's all failing before you, and it's all done by design. They knew what they were doing, and you feel like you have no way of escape. You're afraid of those you have voluntarily made your taskmaster. You're afraid of them now. You're afraid to withdraw because you see what they've done to others who have withdrawn without repentance, and some with repentance, just through ignorance. They've destroyed many lives. They put many in prison. That's right. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And as I say, cross the border. That nation is now a holy nation. It's over all the earth. It's those that choose by faith to live a life of obedience, looking forward to the redemption by the blood of the Lamb, erasing all of our past sins so that we can learn obedience and put on his righteousness. That's what it's all about. There's a holy nation. Cross the border into that holy nation. You cross the border through repentance, and the works meet for repentance follow true repentance. That's right. Many people, they practice a repentance of words only, but they continue in Babylon. They continue looking to the wrong God for their benefits and to take care of them rather than living by faith. That's not true repentance. True repentance is followed by a total reliance upon the Heavenly Father, even demonstrated by Daniel. Even though he was a slave in Babylon, he would never break the commandments of Yahuwah. They would never break the law of God. That's right. Even if it would cost him his very life, he would obey his master. He would obey his owner until his owner said, you must break God's laws. And then he would not do it. Would you be willing to take that stand? Well, you know, you don't have to, because the law is nailed to the cross. That's right. Got that drummed into your brain. But I find nothing in the New Testament that does away with the law of our Heavenly Father. Yes, we have a liberty, but that liberty existed before. You know, it's like the Sabbath liberty. You can pull your ox out of the ditch, you know, on the Sabbath, you know, but you still can't murder. As a matter of fact, Yahshua, the Messiah, raised the standard. Before, it was just the law. You know, if they murdered, they were guilty. But Yahshua, he said, if you hate your brother without a cause, you know, if your cause is unjust, if your cause is not a lawful cause, if you hate your brother, you know, I mean, like if a man, you know, steals from me, or he's trying to destroy my life, or he raped my child or something, I would hate him, and I would have a just cause to hate him. But then I would take care of that whatever way the law provided, at whatever time the law provided. But now there are many out there who hate me without a cause, without a lawful cause. He says to those that hate without a cause, and I'm so glad he put that in there, that little caveat, whoever hates his brother without a cause, and of course referring to a lawful cause, is in danger of hellfire, judgment. He raised the standard. He says you're a murderer in your heart if you hate your brother without a cause. Yes, there are people that I have a cause to hate, but you know what I still wish for them, and you know what I still desire for them? That they would repent and enter into the kingdom of heaven and obtain eternal life, that I could see them in the resurrection. That's what I pray for my enemies that are trying to destroy me, that hate me without a cause. It says, I will bring the sword. So is famine? Is the sword coming? Are all these things coming? Yes, they are. I believe they are coming, and they're going to begin here. It's going to be especially hard in the cities. If you're in the cities and you hear the Spirit of Yahuwah and he's telling you to leave, leave, forsake, you know, whatever you have to forsake to be obedient to him. But I'll tell you what, If you don't desire to live a life of obedience, if you don't repent and show forth the works meet for repentance, you're not going to hear from His Holy Spirit. You're not going to know when it's time to leave, and you are going to suffer the consequences, just like those that got trapped here in this siege and didn't listen to Jeremiah and the prophets. That's right. You're going to get trapped just like those who didn't listen to the Messiah when He told them, when you see these signs, flee. And the obedient did. That's demonstrated in the book of Acts, where they sold everything and had everything in common because they were listening in obedience to the Messiah. They were leaving their lands and everything behind. And those who didn't listen, those who weren't obedient, they were trapped.